How do you do it? How do you know to keep on walking when there's nowhere to go?
Show, especially for the launch episode. I'm really excited to talk with you about this and speak my thoughts out loud as opposed to just tweeting about them. Okay, so I'd like to start by asking every guest, what's your fave moment in music history or fave idea?
Okay, so today we're going to be covering female hysteria in music history, and we're just going to jump right in.
So yeah, the gap in between. So would you say it's like this
because you did the theater studies, it's gender as theater, and it's especially like women's hysterical theatrical expression of that.
So how have you come to see like this gender performance, like literally in the performance of music and art?
So a lot of we're gonna talk about some artists today who we believe kind of live within a performative gaze by their audience. We don't have an answer to the questions we're asking today. We're just talking about it, but it's interesting to evaluate singers who have kind of a hysteric way of coming across, having sad music or having like screaming but not punk type of vibe, and how because of their music and how they kind of portrayed as and are perpetrated by the public gaze as, they're trapped within this performative hysteric mindset or this space. So they always will exist within the realm of the spectacle, even if they're not trying to perform. So always, you know, it's like their female body put on display, just as how Sherko put his patients' bodies on display back in the Salpêtrière, back in Paris. So anyway, we're gonna evaluate the medical gaze today in terms of all the female artists that we're gonna talk about. And the first artist we're gonna go into is Mitski, who has been super popular lately. I think Mitski is super interesting person to evaluate in terms of how she's perceived by Americans or the whole American audience, because of course she's half Japanese, and her breakout hit Your Best American Girl was like an instant classic pop rock anthem. And you know, the chorus was like, your mother wouldn't approve of how my mother raised me, but I do. I think I do. And you're an all-American boy. I guess you couldn't help trying to be your best American girl. So what is that? Obviously, that's going to be interpreted as a political statement and a crying of hell in some ways. Is she challenging a music industry in which like Asian women are rarely invisible, in which crazy Asian women are so rarely invisible and sometimes like fetishized, as always?
So without further ado, this is our first song on CITR 101.9. This is Mitski, I'm a Fool to Want You, from her 2017 release on a fundraiser album for Planned Parenthood. It's got a lot of great artists on it, and it's they raise a lot of money with it, so I'm a big fan of this album. So this is 7 Inches for Planned Parenthood by Mitski.
I'm a fool.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. What you just heard was Mitski, I'm a Fool to Want You. So up next, we have more from Mitski by Yuki.
Hi, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how variety entertainment in America specifically shapes the meaning of hysteria. So as we were talking about earlier, Mitski's hit, Your Best American Girl, was kind of was not intended as a political statement. She explicitly said to the New Yorker that she was just in love and not trying to make a political statement, which is interesting because that's a complete different way of interpreting her hysteric cry. And so back to variety entertainment, in the 1700s and 1800s, a lot of immigration and migration are happening around North America, and that's not a coincidence that freak shows, putting bodies on display, the performative and the voyeuristic way of othering was what made performance popular and theater popular and freak shows popular. So through othering, you're solidifying your understanding of yourself also as an American, solidifying your understanding of others as American, and how those interact and intervene kind of shapes the understanding of hysteria. Yeah.
So also talking about like women in a landscape, you can talk about talk about Kate Bush in the landscape of open fields. So, or about how she relates to Emily Bronte's piece of work on Wuthering Heights. So, no, completely new topic here. So, I think a lot of people know already about Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights, very popular song from the 80s. But I think also a lot of people know that it's based on Emily Bronte's novel by the same name, Wuthering Heights. And a lot of the conversation at the time when it was released, like in the 1800s, was that it was so gruesome and so unpalatable. And people talked about like abuse and like and this sort of like anger that was coming out of that. But then there was also like this other conversation around it that was like, is this yearning, like wanting to like separate from being a human and just be like so angry and so like unhinged, and separate yourself from like humanness and just merge in spirit like with the person you love, but obviously not condoning like everything that happens in the book, but like that's what people said. And I always find it quite interesting because Emily Bronte actually saved a couple of the reviews she got from this time in her writing desk, and when they went into her home and looked at her writing desk, they looked at the reviews that she had saved there, and one of them was like, in Wuthering Heights, the reader is shocked, disgusted, and almost sickened by details of cruelty, inhumanity, and the most diabolical hate and vengeance. But then it ends, like that whole paragraph ends by saying, the women in the book are of a strange, fiendish, angelic nature, tantalizing and terrible. And so for me, like that was crazy in how this relates to the performance of women's emotions. And I was so surprised to hear how well Kate Bush captured like that section of the review, but in a song. And it was almost like hysteria is a collective consciousness of women or people born a woman. And so it was like they could tap into that, like, and I could get that sense of Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights without reading it, but by listening to Kate Bush's song. So I think a lot of you know already, but like this is just a little snippet of that. So like that sense of screaming, but not like that is more screaming, but it's not in a punk way. But it brings up like a lot more of this like subtlety, like it's not punk, but it is intense emotion. But sometimes that intense emotion can also be extremely quiet. Like they're saying things to you, like you're listening to this music, they're saying things to you, and you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's like, I will either show you crazy or I will show you myself, like this very intense.
Yeah.
And I think you hear that
also the othering from herself and her craziness. Like, what is hysteria? You are you really embracing it, or is there still a differentiation that you're trying to get away from? Is really interesting to think about.
And so I feel that a good example of this would be like at the end of FKA Twigs, Magdalene, when she is at the end of Cellophane, when she says they're waiting, they're watching us, they're hating. They're waiting and hoping I'm not enough. And she's like whispering and it's super intense. And like you feel that in your bones. Or like in another way, talking about people like as a collective consciousness of hysteria and how that spread. It's crazy because it's like even in, it's like in all these other realms and genres and stuff. But then even in like the culmination of like a massive pop superstar with Taylor Swift, with her recent releases, mm-hmm. that have shown this idea that, like, the quiet hysteria. That is a quiet album.
Yeah.
It does way smaller of an album compared to her others.
Yeah.
But the hystericality is so big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, yeah. To add on what Aness was saying. How big hysteria was in folklore, the form of it was much quieter in comparison to Reputation, but I think how powerful it way overpowered it. So, okay, Aness and I are massive Swifties, so there's biases here, but I've been wanting to talk about Taylor Swift in terms of hysteria for a long time. In popular culture in the last decade, there is no other woman that has been more pathologized as a hysteric more than Taylor Swift. She is number one. And I mean, the arc of her being like a teenage girl crying in her bedroom to kind of like almost framed as a man hater, and then framed as this like feminist icon of embracing hysteria I feel like that also embodies how culture has embraced hysteria and how I mean feminists have been embracing hysteria since the 1990s, I want to say, or 1900s, but now like it's so integrated into pop culture that you can barely even differentiate. Like, okay, yeah. So rather than talking about Taylor Swift as in like, I wonder who is the next man she's going to write about, it's more like, I wonder what emotion she will encapsulate in her work of art. So
I think, yeah, you can hear that. I'm just gonna play a quick snippet from Seven. Okay, as always, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And I think so, building off that in this like whole big different genre, different medium, like talking about a collective performance, but then it's also authentic because it is themselves. But I think someone who does this really well, I think a lot of people know, massive artist is killing it right now, is Phoebe Bridgers. And this is a quite obvious example because she speaks about this outright, especially on her social media. She talks often about balancing the performance of like a gendered performance, but then still being palatable, because she is a woman with serious trauma and serious mental health issues, but then she's also very open about that, but is also still very palatable and like not deemed crazy or been like banished, you know, or seen as like, you know, the town crazy or whatever you want to call it. But So yeah, it's of course this is all subjective because it's radio, but it's hard to give disclaimers like every other sentence. What I noticed like in Phoebe's social media presence is that she explicitly mentions hypersexuality a lot, like in verbatim, and talking about like how she has used that to like cope with her level of fame and use that as it's a very obvious way to perform gender, like through this hypersexualized way that she presents herself. And I feel like that sort of overt sexuality would be deemed like very hysterical in the past, like hysterical behavior. And then she also follows that through with screaming her head off, but not in a punk way, but simultaneously in a punk way, like on some songs she is definitely screaming. But I'll play one where she is a lot like more of the subtle hysteria for you now. So this is Georgia Lee by Phoebe Bridgers. This is on a 2019 tribute album to Tom Waits from Dual Tone Records. Not to be confused with Georgia, which is off of her own 2017 album, Stranger in the Alps.
Cold was the night, and hard was the ground. They found her in a small grove of trees. Lonesome was the place where Georgia was found. She's too young to be out on the street. Why wasn't God watching? Why wasn't God listening? Why wasn't God there for Georgia Lee? Ida said she couldn't keep Georgia from dropping out of school. I was doing the best that I could, but she just kept running away from this world. These children are so hard to raise good. Why wasn't God watching? Why wasn't God listening? Why wasn't God there for Georgia Lee? Close your eyes and
listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I just got a couple ads and PSAs for you, but stay tuned.
ta-ta. Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
To illuminate your life? Are you looking to open your mind? Are you aware there is peace inside your heart? Are you searching for the hands in the sky, the hands that can reach into your soul? Try something new. Go to www.thesoundofroy.bandcamp.com and bless yourself with peace, love, and outer space. The new album by Roy.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the 9-1 show on Sunya.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
This is Sasha Bilot, and you are listening to CRTR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You just heard Bazia Bolsat. She said it was CITR 101.9 FM. And now I'm going to show a small snippet of I Know the End from Phoebe Bridgers. That was the end of I Know the End by Phoebe Bridgers off of her album Punisher. And so what we wanted to show, or what I wanted to show, was that there's that overt screaming, the overt screaming, just like as you heard, off of her album, and then also just like this real subtle pleading and with super intense emotion off of that tribute album that we played. So
okay, to Phoebe, which we're both oh so massive fans of. So that snippet of her screaming was from the very end of her album Punisher. The last track was I Know the End. Haha. But it's funny because, or I guess not funny, but interesting that she's mentioned that to Genius Lyrics, I think, that she knew that she wanted to scream at the end of this very album, but she contextualized her screaming by writing a song about I Know the End, about the world ending. So obviously she has to scream because the world is ending. And the way that she wrote about the world ending, waves crashing onto shore, what she was referencing are Surfer Boys. And she's referencing the Surfer Boys off of the California coast, the boys that are out there on the shore of the beach every single day, surfing those waves. And when they leave, when they are gone, you know that the end is near. Like, she knows that that is the end, and that is therefore she is screaming. So, fun fact, yeah. And again, another thing I wanted to talk about in terms of Phoebe is... the way that she's perceived by the public and the media, and how her hypersexualization of herself and her reposting of memes and tweets about how she is crazy has perpetuated the public's opinion of her. And I think, well, Anessa and I were talking about how she seems to be doing great. I mean, she seems to like it. She seems to be, again, just like perpetuating it herself as well, and like handling that space and that perception well, which is interesting if you compare it to Mitski, who has said before that she does not want people tweeting at her being like, I can't wait to cry to your next album. She'd rather just for the audience to interpret her music as is, and as just a rendition of her real relationships and her real life circumstances. And to tie into Taylor Swift also, she clearly did not like the public perception of her hysteria, and therefore she wrote Reputation. And that, I mean, from an overall perspective, it was not well perceived as her other work. Which is interesting because she was kind of fighting this public perception of her as a person. But what did help her out in the end is when she kind of went in hiding for a year or two and wrote about Lover, which is, again, tying to Mitski. She was just writing about her being in love. And Mitski had a tweet about how... Sorry, we're just finding the tweet. Mitski said, I used to rebel by destroying myself, but realize that's awfully convenient to the world. For some of us, our best revolt is self-preservation. So I guess for Taylor, in the time of 2016, when Reputation was released, or after Reputation was released, she went into self-preservation and kind of came out with like a more quieter but actual more empowering sense of hysteria. But that's, again, that's also us attaching our opinions onto it. But yeah.
Okay, before I play some more music for you guys, I am just going to say that the first song we had was I'm a Fool to Want You. Then we had a snippet of Wuthering Heights, a snippet of Seven. We played Georgia Lee by Phoebe Bridgers, a snippet of I Know the End by Phoebe Bridgers. And then now I'm going to play Firestarter by Haley Blaze. Haley Blaze is an amazing, amazing, amazing local Vancouver artist. I'm a massive fan of hers. And when I was trying to tie this show together on hysteria and all these things, it was like the thing that would really tie it together for me was to have some of Haley Blaze's music on, because first of all, like, she like comes from like where I love to live my days. It's like in Vancouver, and there's this idea about like local music in that sense for me. And so also like a shout out to her song Small Foreign Faction. I listened to that like all of last year, and that really helped me get through 2020. But for the show, I wanted to highlight some of her newer music, because I feel like it's really important and ties in well with the subject. So yeah, the next song is called Firestarter, off of her recent album, Below the Salt. It's a debut, it's her debut release from independent and woman-owned Canadian record label Tiny Kingdom Music. CITR 101.9 FM. What you just heard was Firestarter by Haley Plays. And so what I wanted to talk about was some of the lyrics in this song, and some of the interpretations. I know that some people have, like, wondered, once again, like, it's actually a reoccurring theme for the previous songs, like, is it a love song? Or is it her presenting something? Or is it her presenting an emotion? Is it about her? Or is it, is it about a partner? And a lot of times, it is just about themselves. Like, it comes across as a love song, but it's just writing about their perception and their understanding of themselves. And not in a, like, this is a love song to me, or I'm learning to love me by writing this song. It's literally like, I am crazy and I am volatile, and I am trying to, I am trying to express that. And through doing that, it can actually come across as a love song. And I found that really quite interesting. So it's more so like this idea, like, at the beginning of the song, Haley says, I carefully conducted a plan to leave me faultless. I watched it from the sidelines. I watched it from the sidelines. I learned to keep my distance, the path of least resistance. And I find, like, the way that the melody goes and the way that she wrote this song is really shows that her hystericality for me. But then she goes in, but this is not a love song. I wrote too many love songs. So, yeah, I really recommend Firestarter by Haley Blaze.
Yeah. So just to keep talking about Haley for a second, what Ines was saying, how there's an ambiguity to if she's othering herself, if she's pathologizing herself. And to tie that back to the very beginnings of hysteria, of how institutions were created to other patients, pathologized women, and how that marginalized them to society. Are artists trying to still other that part of their self? Is that their self way of, you know, fixing themselves in a way? And so psychologists or neuroscientists used to treat patients by giving them rational routines to live by. So kind of give their irrational body a place, located in a rational system and way to fix things. And our artists, the way that they write music, the way that they pour their emotions into the lyrics, and the way that they scream, but not in a punk way, how are they rationalizing their own behavior through, like, actual songwriting, which is, like, a mythology, like, through methods and through melodies and through compositions. So, yeah, is this, but, like, in the end, we don't have the answer to if they're really embracing the hysteric. Are they disapproving the medical model of hysteria? Are they adding on to the discourse? It's interesting to think about.
Okay, so I'm just going to play a couple more songs for you guys, then I'll tell you what those are.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old yet for all the
CITR 101.9 FM. You are listening to Generation Strange with an S. And the songs you had just heard were Auld Lang Syne by Haley Blaze, and then after that, a song called After That, but also by Haley Blaze. Auld Lang Syne, I wanted to play because it's the new year and it's the first episode in the new year, so good opportunity for that. And then After That is on a demo album of hers, and it's one of my favorites. Like, it starts off with a lot of high frequency noises, and I love listening to demo versions of songs, and I like seeing like the weird pieces that people leave in. So I also really recommend After That by Haley Blaze. And so the next song I'm about to play is dedicated to Mickey. If you're listening, Mick, this is for you.
Thank you.
CITR 101.9 FM. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to the birth and launch of this show. It was quite chaotic, and I'm glad you were around for the ride. We only had one microphone, but I think everyone could hear us. If not, we spoke to the void. No, everyone heard us. I know you did. But I wanted to thank everyone for listening in, and the show will only get better from here. So tune in next Saturday. I have an artist interview. I'm not telling you who with yet, but yeah, I'm so glad that this started and we could do this even in the middle of a pandemic, even though I'm broadcasting from home with unknown equipment, but it's going great.
This is Katie J. I play drums in Lié. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people.
Bow down. Control.